There comes a time or many times when developing a mobile application that a software engineer has to review and test code. At this point, a developer using a mobile application emulator or simulator can see how the code is performing within the context of the app. Today, I'm talking with Jen Looper, developer advocate for Progress, about knowing what can go wrong when using mobile app simulators and emulators and understanding how to leverage the benefits of mobile app emulators, which can be, as Jen says in this podcast, a sticky business. I'm Jan Stafford, Executive Editor for TechTarget's Application Development Media Group. So Jen, what are emulators within a mobile context?
Right. So as you're developing a mobile app, you're normally working on your local computer and you're coding away, but eventually you're going to need to see what you're doing, you know, in some kind of simulator or emulator. So usually you do a little build, a local build, and then some kind of emulator or simulator will pop up, and it looks sort of like a little iPhone or an Android device, and you can see, you know, how your work is performing more or less within the context of the app that you're developing. And when I say more or less, it's like here's where we get into the kind of sticky business between, you know, the difference between emulators and simulators, how we can leverage the benefits of both of those sort of systems, and then whether you're on a Mac or a PC, you know, you're going to be using different types of systems to allow you to test locally. So the whole idea behind an emulator is that you need to be able to test locally. Eventually, you're going to kind of move away from that local testing and go onto a device, but that usually starts kind of in the mid to late range of when you're in the development cycle. So you're going to start with your emulators and simulators and then move to device, and then eventually you'll, you know, have a whole bunch of testers looking on their devices, and then you'll move to production. So that's kind of the basic cycle of how you would develop a mobile app.
And how do emulators work, and in what situations do you use them?
Right. So emulators, I guess I should just talk a little about what an emulator actually is. So an emulator, the word emulator was actually coined by IBM in 1963, and what it was it's a virtual machine, and it's a version of an OS that's compiled for the desktop CPU. So for an Android emulator, it's going to be a kind of a copy of an Android device, and for iOS, it's as close a copy as we can get to an iPhone with that machinery displayed on your local computer. So what you're trying to do is get as close to as possible to the experience that you can have, you know, in your hand on your iPhone or on your Android device. And the only trick to that is that when you're working on your local computer, you're never going to actually get 100% parity of, you know, the work that you're doing on your local computer versus what you can do on a device. For example, on your iOS emulator, you're never going to be able to, like, take a picture because it doesn't have the capabilities that your device actually will. So you just need to keep these limitations in mind as you're developing locally. And always remember, you know, test on device, you know, early and often. That's always my advice.
And why are some emulators better than others?
Right. So what we have is a funny kind of strange history, and I would just point you toward this article that I wrote of, it's called How Do Mobile Emulators Even? How Do They Even Work? There's an interesting history of the way that various entities decided to create their emulators. So on iOS, that's a little bit of a closed garden. So you have iOS, which is expecting that you're using Xcode when you're building a native app or something approximating a native app, and the emulator or simulator, as they call it, is bundled into Xcode. So you're always going to be leveraging that iOS simulator. And what it is basically a Mac app, and it's pretty close to what an iPhone can do, with the exception that it doesn't have some of the hardware capabilities. Now, for some reason with Android, it's kind of interesting because what they decided to do is build a true emulator, and they built exactly the same capabilities, including the hardware capabilities, within the emulator and running on your local computer. So what it is it's basically an ARM processor built with a particular version of software, and it is slow as molasses in January for that reason, because they kind of went all in, and they're like, we're going to just recreate an Android using software on a local machine. So it's you know, you're able to take a picture with your Android emulator, and that's great, except that it takes 20 minutes for the thing to open sometimes. So it's really slow in its earlier manifestations. Now, some companies have tried to fix this problem. There is a plugin that called Haxm, H-A-X-M, that you can have enabled, and you can use a Haxm-enabled emulator, and that will kind of speed up the processor. What I do is I avoid the native Android emulator, and I use Genymotion, which is a company that just decided to kind of redo the whole emulator system, and they actually use VirtualBox, which is a different way of emulating. And it gets pretty close, again, to your device, but it just is faster, and I can actually get some work done, you know, while waiting for your emulator to open. The joke is that, you know, you're developing for Android, you know, you run a build, you go for coffee, you come back and it might be done, you know, so that's just kind of a giant hassle. Now, some companies have provided simulators, and some IDEs that you're developing in, your development environment, have provided their own simulators. Here at Progress, we have our App Builder desktop client, and it has its own bundled-in simulator that you can use. And that doesn't have, you know, the hardware capabilities at all, but it's really designed for building hybrid apps, so it's not really expecting that you're going to run a lot of hardware on that. You're just going to go ahead and, you know, run your hybrid app, which is essentially running in a web view, and you can use these simulators to basically get a quick snapshot of what you want to look at. But in that situation, it's really critical to start running your true tests on a device. Simulator is only going to get you about maybe 50% of the way in your development cycle. You need to get onto device ASAP.
And what can go wrong if you're using emulators, and how would developers avoid going wrong?
Yeah, I've actually had some weird experiences myself. I used to develop using Corona SDK, which is a game development engine, and it is compiling down to native code, so it's compiling down to bytecode, which is great. But it's in the simulator, it'll give you a snapshot of many, many, many devices, including the Nook device, which was a kind of a tablet but a funny size. So in the simulator, everything was peachy. But when you pass it over to Nook, they do a very careful review before they'll post the app into their app store, and they'll just reject and reject and reject until you can get it right. So I had to borrow, you know, an actual Nook device because I really wanted to hit that market at that time. This was several years ago. Find a Nook device and just test, because I could not figure out, according to the simulator, what was going wrong. So I think the best strategy is to target carefully the devices that you're going to support, get as close as you can to those devices, test on as many actual devices as you can. And there are some interesting cloud services now that you can use, simulators and emulators in the cloud. I think some of them are paid services, but it's really helpful because you can really deploy your app, you know, virtually on many different sizes and get a better idea. Can't remember exactly the name of those services, but a lot of companies are starting to rely on this because there's just so much fragmentation, especially in the Android space. On iOS, you know, we all have our device walls of nice iOS devices for those of us who are iOS developers, because it's just more of a walled garden, but it's almost impossible to test on every single Android device. You're going to need help, you're going to need friends, and you're going to need a cloud.
And would you say that'd be the primary difference between working with emulators and iOS versus Android?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, you kind of have an idea where iOS has been and where it's going. You know, you've got you start with your 4, you moved up to 5, that gave you a little extra height, and then 6, same, you know, this is just a kind of gradual scaling up. But with Android, there is a huge amount of fragmentation. We have really different capabilities. You know, some of the basic things that might work on a higher-end Android, you know, for your lower-end users, they're just not going to be able to handle that stuff, so you need to, I think the bottom line is you need to understand your user base and be careful about deploying apps promising that they're going to work on certain devices if you're not pretty sure they're going to. Just good customer service, I think.
In an enterprise setting, do you see a leaning towards one or the other, or is there necessary to use multiple
Yeah, I think that people are always interested in covering as much ground as they can to satisfy as many customers as they can. The enterprise, of course, has more resources to throw at this. But then again, a lot of enterprises are developing internal apps for their field services, and they know exactly which devices those are going to, you know, that those users are going to use. So that's not a problem. But if you're, you know, a medium to small size shop and you're trying to hit as many devices as you can, it's just a huge challenge. So in a way, the enterprise has both more leverage that they can go test on more devices, but also they probably and possibly might have fewer needs, I'm going to guess, especially if they're developing for the internal for internal apps.
Cool. And what other key advice points would you offer to our developers and businesses about using emulators?
I think just kind of try to keep up with all of the new tools that are coming out. There, especially in the Android space, there are more and more good tools that will speed up your development. Like I mentioned, Haxom-enabled emulators, but GeniMotion is really worth purchasing for your developers. It's just, you know, it works nicely. I mean, I'm an iOS developer, and I'm satisfied with GeniMotion, so that's kind of saying a lot when you're trying to develop cross-platform. It's a very solid sort of emulator to use, so I would recommend just kind of keep up with what's going on. Someone mentioned that the newer Android Studio has really beefed up their emulator out of the box with Haxom enablement. So that might definitely solve, you know, the problems that you're trying to address.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us about emulators and mobile development today, Jen.
Sure, my pleasure. It's always a fun subject.